800-895-8035.
This half hour of the iWork Ram radio broadcast is brought to you by Nepsis. When you invest with clarity, you have better wealth and a better life. Clarity is the single largest challenge keeping investors from achieving more. Visit Nepsis online at nepsiscapital.com.
Who do you work for?
You work for someone.
Are you just there for the paycheck?
Your clients, your boss, your family, your car payment, yourself, or your Lord.
What if God has more for you at your 9 to 5?
Each one of us has a calling. Have you heard this before? Your workplace is your mission field, wherever that may be. You're either all in or all out. Are you for Him?
Hey, Jim. Who do you work for?
I work for Him. I work for Jesus Christ.
Welcome to I Work for Him. Join the I Work for Him Nation at iworkforhim.com. That's iworkthenumber4him.com. And now your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg.
Broadcasting from the heart of the I Work for Him Nation to Christ followers working in cities all over the United States, you've tuned into the fastest 1 hour in Christian talk radio. Hey, welcome to I Work for Him as we broadcast you from Dallas, Texas, courtesy of the Christian Leadership Alliance, ChristianLeadershipAlliance.org. You know, just know, as you're listening, just know that we've prayed for you. We pray for you all the time. We pray for you by city, Tampa Bay, the greater Tampa Bay region, from north of Ocala, how about south of Ocala to north of Fort Myers, all the way over to Disney, to Jacksonville in the First Coast area. And of course, we're praying for all of you in the Hampton Roads area of Virginia. But we want to let you know we're praying for you as you listen to the podcast, as you listen to the streaming, and as this goes across the globe. You're prayed for because when we pray at the beginning of these shows, we're praying that the Holy Spirit will guide the conversation.
That's right, Jim. And speaking of prayer, one of the other things that I just want our listeners to be aware of is that we actually have a prayer team that gets together virtually just through email. And this is an opportunity for you to say, yes, I want to be a part of the prayers of I Work for Him. And so if you go to our subscribe tab, there is an option there to subscribe for our weekly email newsletter that has the blog and all of the last show's links. And it also has an option to join our prayer team.
And what's been fun is that maybe like one out of every two people signing up for the blog are saying, I want to be part of the prayer team.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
And there's a lot to pray about in this country. There's a lot to pray about in our workplaces, which is why we also ask people to join the I Work for Him Nation. That I Work for Him Nation is a pledge you make between you and God that says, I want to live with intentionality in my workplace by praying for those people I work alongside each and every day by name.
Again, prayer.
Prayer, prayer, care, share, lifestyle. That's what we're talking about. So we're also looking for people that will serve those they work alongside over and above what their job requires them to do. Looking for ways to befriend people outside of the workplace where real relationship and not networking happens, but real relationship happens. And, of course, looking for ways to pray with people when you have the opportunity at work, when people are just having a rough day, but all along being a person of excellence.
That's right.
Now, speaking of excellence, sometimes it doesn't matter how excellent we are. We still get in trouble with our words. And sometimes we don't get in trouble with our words. We get in trouble with our actions. And sometimes it's just because we're a Jesus follower that people don't like us. Well, today we're going to have a conversation with Tanya Shelnut about Alliance Defending Freedom. And Tanya, I apologize before the show started. I didn't ask you how to say your last name. So if I just said it wrong, I'm sorry. How do you really say it?
You did a great job, Shelnut. I mean, it's so original. There's not very many people with that last name.
There's not too many. But I do want to welcome Tanya to the I Work for Him radio program as we talk today about this Alliance Defending Freedom, and you can check them out online. Here's their website, adfministryalliance.org. Tanya, we always ask this question of every first-time guest on I Work for Him. How did you become a Jesus follower?
Yeah, that's a very profound question, actually. I grew up in Montana, and I grew up my birth father abandoned my mother and I when I was 6 months old, and I grew up in a broken alcoholic home, and that lifestyle forced me to unfortunately operate out of a wounded and broken spirit. And so I was defined by my wounds, and for many years engaged in a lifestyle that was very, very damaging. And it wasn't until later in life that I came to understand that I had an alcohol problem, and I went to treatment, and I've been sober for 25 years.
Awesome. Congratulations. Wow. And it's so often we grow up with that kind of woundedness until we actually have somebody that can help us walk through that woundedness. It just kind of it cloaks us. So growing up in that household, at what point in time did you see – your faith turn into something real and then start impacting your work, because you're in this alcoholic lifestyle. Did you go through a 12-step program? What did you do to recover?
Absolutely, I did. I went to a treatment facility. My husband told me that I needed to get help for myself, and I did. And I actually came to know Jesus Christ through a radio station, of all things. We had moved to the Charlotte area, and my husband said, we're going to go to church. And I had never gone to church before, so I had no idea what we were doing. And I happened to be listening to a Christian radio station one day, 90.9, and I called them, and I said, because we had visited churches and we just hadn't found one, and I called them and I said, listen, I need to know where we can go to church. And the guy said, listen, I've never been asked that question before. I don't really know how to answer it. And he said, why don't you come to my church? And the pastor, Dr. Joe Brown, Hickory Grove Baptist Church, gave an altar call, and my husband and I went forward and gave our lives to Christ and was baptized together. So,
wow.
That's how I came to know Christ. And, of course, that ties into spending the last 20 years working with young women from a mentor perspective, and my husband and I work in married adult ministry with marriages and strengthening families. And so I used to be part of an organization called Concerned Women for America, a Bible-believing organization, and that work led me to Alliance Defending Freedom. And, of course, we're about generational wins and keeping the legal doors of the gospel open. And so for me, having had the upbringing that I have, making sure that we have the hope of Christ available for our future generations, I was just extremely passionate about it and the importance of leaving behind a legacy.
Oh, that's so powerful. And you said so many things I wanted to stop along the way and talk about.
I took some notes so I didn't miss everything.
Good, but yeah. Good. So tell us about your connection with Christian Leadership Alliance.
Sure.
We are at the Outcomes Conference, Outcomes 19, hashtag Outcomes 19.
Outcomes 19,
you know,
if you're an
old
guy.
Old school. And so we are, you know, this is a collection place of people that are living with intentionality. So what is your connection to the Christian Leadership Alliance?
Sure. So Alliance Defending Freedom has had team members attending for over the past 8 years and have a very strong history with the CALA. This is our first year as sponsorships in the Landmark Circle. And actually, this is my first year attending. So from speaking with my colleagues about their experience and looking through all that is available, there's just such a wealth of information and resources available to them. And so that's our connection. With the CLA.
Fabulous.
Talk about, I mean, you have quite a background. And what I love the fact is that you weren't a little kid that came to Christ. You had lived a desperate lifestyle, crying out for hope. And when you found out what was the answer to your hope, you and your husband embraced Christ together.
Amen.
How old were your kids? You have five kids,
yes,
as I understand.
Sir.
How old were your kids when you guys became Jesus followers?
We had an 18-month-old daughter at the time. And so they've got to be able to be a part. My husband also is a recovering alcoholic. So he's 26 years into sobriety. So they got to grow up in a home where we loved Jesus and saw the transformation power of Christ and what that relationship can do. And hopefully stop the generational cycle that can happen most often in alcoholic homes.
That is amazing. And what a blessing, just the timing. And I'm sure you've thought about that many times, that as you started a family, and there's something amazing about becoming parents and going, okay, I've been entrusted with this human being, and what am I going to do with it? And it kind of draws us to our Creator as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's powerful, powerful. So I want to just, with the last couple of minutes of this segment, talk about, you said you've been, for 20 years, been mentoring young women.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that, because I know we're here to talk about Alliance Defending Freedom, but if there's one thing that would solve a lot of issues in our country, is if chronologically superior people would invest in younger people.
Sure,
and through mentoring, and not mentoring where it's a weekly Bible study, but just investing your life in younger people. Talk to us about what you're doing.
Sure. So the reality is that when I work with a lot of these women, they are lacking coping skills. And it's not because their parents intended to not prepare them, but they don't have the just natural or even logical coping skills to deal with life. And so being able to be there, to be hope, having grown up in that brokenness and being hope to them and just offering them some encouragement, and in and of itself is something that we need all around us. And so just spend time pouring into them. And it doesn't require a lot of time. It's just somebody loving them and pointing them in a direction that says, your life matters. Mm-hmm. You matter. And helping prepare them for adulthood or whatever the Lord would have for them.
Wow. You know, so tell me, like, what are you, you know, you don't need to go looking very far. Oh, Jim says, I don't have time to ask a question.
So, right, tell them what you're going to ask for the next segment.
Well, I just want to know, like, who these women are that you're feeding into and mentoring and what kinds of things you're seeing them be able to do once they know that they've got somebody on their side.
Yeah, and it's a really powerful conversation we're having today with Tanya Shelnut from Alliance Defending Freedom. We're going to check it. We're going to really talk about what they do on a day-to-day basis, but right after the
break,
ADF MinistryAlliance.org. We're here in Dallas, Texas, courtesy of the Christian Leadership Alliance. We'll be right back.
How would you like to own your own business and honor and glorify God within that business? Office Pride Commercial Cleaning Systems, an award-winning faith-based commercial cleaning franchise system, has been around for 27 years and is now offering franchises in the I Work For Him listener area. If you'd like to know how you can participate in this faith-based business culture while being a 100% owner of your own growing franchise, visit Office Pride today at officepridefranchise.com or call 850-291-0724. Office Pride has proven systems that will teach you everything you need to know about the commercial cleaning industry and how to scale a business within that industry. Office Pride is looking for business builders like you. To check out this amazing opportunity, visit officepridefranchise.com. That's officepridefranchise.com or call 850-291-0724. Office Pride, their values make them different. officepridefranchise.com.
Bel Air Wealth Management is a loyal I Work For Him radio partner, committed to helping clients maintain an eternal perspective regarding finances. Wealth advisors Luke Andrews and Dave Cruz have dedicated themselves to biblically responsible investing. When you invest with Bel Air Wealth Management, you can rest assured your dollars align with God's heart. Call Luke Andrews at 727-798-4188 or find Luke and Dave online at bwmadvisors.com. That's bwmadvisors.com.
If you are a Christian believer, God placed you where you live to help your neighbors become vibrant, reproducing disciples of Jesus Christ. Sign up free at blesseveryhome.com and you'll receive a map and list of your neighbors along with the tools to pray for them by name, care for, and share the gospel with them. Join Bless Every Home and see how prayer can change your community. blesseveryhome.com. Sign up free at blesseveryhome.com. blesseveryhome.com.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him. We're having a great conversation courtesy of the Christian Leadership Alliance online, christianleadershipalliance.org, in Dallas, Texas, talking today with Tanya Shelnut from Alliance Defending Freedom. And in the first segment, if you missed the first segment of the show, you got to go back. What a great story. Every day, you know, we ask our first-time guests, how did you become a follower of Jesus? This will rank up there as one of those stories. It's just really neat to hear the call from our Heavenly Father. Tanya, you and your husband, our Heavenly Father was chasing you, saying, mm-hmm. I want you, I want you, I want you. And you heard it, and you and your husband responded at the same time. That makes a great story.
Yes, yes, absolutely. The Lord has been very good, and He's blessed us. And I'm so thankful for my husband and his leadership and leading me in our family in that direction to grow in Christ.
That's so fabulous. So just to wrap up this part of the conversation about mentoring young women, and this is something that we want to inspire our listeners to just find somebody to do life with shoulder to shoulder. Right. And there are so many people that are younger than us that we can just show them a little bit of what God's been teaching us and walk life with them and encourage them along the way. So, you know, you don't really need to go looking for people like that, do you? Where does God often help you intersect your life with women that need to be mentored?
So my husband and I teach married adult ministry, and that can happen right there. But additionally, you know, my children have friends or, yes. you know, siblings or whoever that just need somebody to love on them and breathe a little bit of word of hope into their lives. And mm-hmm. so from a personal perspective, that's what I do. And I have the blessing from a professional perspective with Alliance Defending Freedom to work on a daily basis with ministry leaders and church denominational leaders and pastors to just, again, be hope for them and know that somebody's out there and has their back.
And it seems to me that God's probably given you the gift of encouragement. That's something that you've probably been told before.
Yes.
So tell us then, let's move into this whole Alliance Defending Freedom. What are they all about? And help our listeners, they may have heard it before, but not really know what that means.
Sure. So we exist to keep the legal doors of the gospel open. We're the nation's largest Christian legal organization. We want people to freely live out their faith. And obviously, based on my background and my relationship or my upbringing, I'm very passionate about the work that I do mm-hmm. because we are so focused on generational wins and making sure that we keep the legal doors open for the future generations.
Oh, that's a lot to think about. All right, so I want give me the practical. Tell me some stories. I mean, Alliance Defending Freedom, you hear about it all the time. I mean, in Christian circles, it is the name mentioned most in the fight against the attacks on religious liberty. So why don't you talk about what are the biggest things that you guys end up fighting against or defending, Alliance Defending Freedom? What are some of the biggest things you end up defending? Give us some big subtopics.
So we have three core issues that we work on: religious freedom, marriage between a man and a woman, and the sanctity of life. Those are three areas that we focus on, and we funnel those through, again, a generational wins.
What does that mean, generational wins?
Right. So at the end of the day, we need to make sure that our future generations have the hope of the gospel available to them. And we're in a culture that's becoming increasingly hostile to Christians. And so we want to make sure that we're protecting religious freedoms for ministries and churches and people of faith to freely live those out so that we can be the hope of Christ for our future generations so that they can carry on that torch.
So not just solving a problem, but making sure that it's going to hold the test of time.
That's
a
correct.
Little bit more so that it, you know, because I would think that there's a lot of short-term wins that could be
yes.
out there. But what you're saying is we want this to have sticking power.
That's right. That's exactly right, Martha.
All right. So you're defending religious freedom, right? Issues attacking religious freedom, marriage between a man and a woman, and sanctity of life. Now, in the news, in the last, if you're listening to conservative news sites, we're seeing a lot of wins in the sanctity of life area. Mm-hmm. In the last several months, we've seen a lot of wins. We've seen also some mm-hmm. major losses. You know, New York lighting up the Eiffel Tower pink in favor of killing birthed children. I mean, you know, just unbelievable, almost unthinkable things, but they're happening.
Yeah.
Talk to us about, you know, I don't know where you could go with this, because I know you can't tell us about current cases because you have to, you know, protect the innocent and the stuff hasn't been tried. But give us an idea of lawsuits of defending of the sanctity of life. Some lawsuits you guys have been involved in.
Sure. So I want to be really clear because I'm not an attorney, so I can't speak directly to the cases. But what I can speak to, which I think is actually probably more important, is the court of public opinion. That is where we need to do a lot of our wins, is making sure that we can message in the court of public opinion. And what we have found, especially with the abortion issue, it is such a controversial issue. But the reality is that many people don't understand all the aspects of it. They don't understand that the post-abortive women, that the guilt and the shame that they carry with them, yes, we want to win those cases, and yes, we want to make sure that we put protections in place, but the larger, broader issue is the court of public opinion. And teaching people of faith how to speak to that with a redemptive message that says not only do we love life, but we love the woman who has chosen to have that abortion. We love the man who has also been involved in that. And that's really where we need to be focusing a lot of our wins. Yes, we're winning cases. Yes, we're focusing on that. But when it comes to the court of public opinion, being able to communicate that redemptive message, that is the most important issue.
And that's so powerful. So how do we, how do you help people with that vocabulary? How do you help them to address it in a redemptive way and to just show the love that we know deep down that's the right thing, but boy, it's not, we're not seeing it modeled as much as we are the anger.
Right, exactly. And that's one of the...
And the judgment.
And the judgment. Yeah. That's one of the reasons why, in addition to all of the legal questions that have been coming up for pastors and churches and ministries, that's why we created the Church Alliance and the Ministry Alliance. Not just specifically for that, but for to put protections in place for churches and ministries to live emboldened and live in truth. Because we know that it wasn't half-truths that set me free and my husband free. It was the whole truth. Mm-hmm. And so being able to empower pastors to speak truth from the pulpit with that redemptive message, being able to protect ministries so that they can operate according to which God has called them to, in a way that changes the court of public opinion.
So give us some examples of churches that get that, who are really, they're embracing women who are wounded from an abortion, whether it's physically or mentally,
right.
Certainly spiritually. And then of people who have, you got people that are supporting the abortion movement. I mean, how give us some examples of churches that get this, that we need to love the women that are struggling, that are suffering from this, from the abortion issue.
Sure. So I can't specifically name a church off the top of my head. I mean, I guess I could use my church, but the reality is that you look at your church and you see what your outreach ministries are. You see what that church is doing. And anywhere you go, the most important thing is that there is a level of authenticity and love. When we came down to South Carolina and we're looking for a church, we had moved from Montana, that was the one thing that we were looking for, was a church that exemplified authenticity and love. Because if you can take those two components and go out into the public square, wherever it is, people see right through that. So you have to be able to demonstrate that. So if you have that in your ministries, you're doing some really healthy stuff. And that's really what it is.
So use your church as an example. What are some of the things you guys are doing to proactively reach out to women who are hurting from abortions, past or present? Because the statistics from Barna show that the numbers are somewhat north of 40 to 50% of the women in the congregations are struggling, and that larger than that, people being impacted within a congregation.
Well, it comes down to collaboration and networking. Another reason why we're here is to, you know, you work with the pregnancy resource centers. You determine who can you partner with in your community that is has a strong message and a strong program that is helping those women, and then you put some of those resources over there. So we reach out to those pregnancy resources locally and partner with them, whether we offer mentoring or just inviting them to come to church with us, come to our events, the children's ministry, all of that.
So finding somebody who's doing it well and walking alongside of them, because one of the things, we talk about that all the time, Jim, not reinventing the
wheel. Absolutely, no.
You know, God has called them to do something very specifically, but let's celebrate that and let's utilize those resources and lift them up and walk together with them in it.
That's right. And it's all about having that kingdom focus. If we come together for the bigger picture, for the bigger cause, which is the kingdom, not that so-and-so is doing this or so-and-so is doing that. No. It's about the kingdom and making sure we come together to use our gifts from each group, each church, each organization to expand the kingdom.
Yeah.
That's what we're called to do.
Are Christians causing some of their own legal issues? But before I give you a chance to answer that question, we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. We're talking with Tanya Shelnut from Alliance Defending Freedom. You can check them online, ADFMinistryAlliance.org, ADFMinistryAlliance.org. You're listening to I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg, as we broadcast from Dallas, Texas, courtesy of the Christian Leadership Alliance. Check them out online, ChristianLeadershipAlliance.org. We'll be right back.
Sidera delivers a fresh approach that's reshaping the healthcare landscape. How? We provide uncommonly high levels of service and a superior healthcare experience while delivering tremendous value for members and their families. The Sidera solution blends several service options to offer our members a high-quality healthcare solution at a low cost. Sidera members typically save 30 to 60% compared to other healthcare options. For large, unexpected medical expenses, Sedaris Community is here to help. There are no out-of-network concerns when it comes to medical costs. Members can visit the physician, clinic, or hospital that best meets their needs when they're sick or injured. At Sedera, we're building a new kind of community, one whose members commit to pursuing a healthy lifestyle and sharing the cost of medical care. We would love for you to join us and invite you to reach out today.
Online at Sedera.com. That's Sedera.com.
As an apartment management professional, wouldn't you like to increase revenue without raising rent? Installing individual unit water meters allows for direct billing of residents and creates a revenue recapture strategy that adds to your bottom line without increasing rent. It also lowers consumption 20 to 40%. Think Utility Services has been in business since 1957 and has helped property management companies increase profit for over 50 years. Find out how today. Call 888-MY-METER or visit thinkutilityservices.com.
Most condo communities include water as part of the monthly fee. Some residents conserve to subsidize those that consume. Stop paying for your neighbor's water. Have Think Utility Services install individual meters and pay only for what you use. Decrease water consumption by 20 to 40%. For over 20 years, Think Utility Services has been helping condo communities save. Call 888-MY-METER today. That's 888-MY-METER today. Go to
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The House has approved a resolution that'll make it easier to file lawsuits against the Trump administration when officials defy subpoenas. The legislation passed 229 to 191 along party lines. It empowers Democrats to take legal action to enforce subpoenas against Attorney General William Barr and former White House counsel Don McGahn. Beloved in his hometown in the Dominican Republic, former Boston Red Sox player David Ortiz traveled the dangerous streets of Santo Domingo with little or no security, trusting in his fans to protect him. It was at a bar on Sunday night where he was shot and wounded. Now he lies in intensive care in a Boston hospital. And investigators are trying to determine what made him the target of what appeared to be an assassination attempt. On Wall Street, the Dow by 14 points, the NASDAQ unchanged, the S&P 500 declined 1. More details at srnnews.com.
It's time to find a new home through Home Finder Realty. Listing or buying a residential property or planning to build? Call Home Finder Realty. Home Finder Realty can't be beat on property management. Let them handle your problems. Home Finder Realty has a great three-bedroom, two-bath home for sale near Beach and Kernan. Well and septic, detached garage with power, even an adjoining lot if desired. Only $209,900. Call Robert McDonald at Home Finder Realty. 241-5501. 241-5501.
Tis the season of high winds, thunderstorms, and hurricanes. Hey, it's Johnny the voiceover guy for SNC Square Roofing. You all know that SNC Square Roofing replaced my roof, but what you might not know is that it was replaced due to wind damage. Steve over at SNC Square worked directly with the insurance company, filed all the necessary paperwork, and there were zero headaches. The storm season is here, and so is SNC Square Roofing. Don't call any roofer. Call my roofer, SNC Square Roofing, 524-8621. That's 524-8621.
This half hour of the I Work For Him show is brought to you by Sedera Health, reinventing healthcare, a high-end, affordable healthcare solution with no insurance hassles. Online at Sedera.com. That's Sedera.com. Welcome back to I Work For Him. As we're talking about defending freedom, we're talking about defending religious freedom, defending marital freedom, the freedom to actually say that God said marriage is between a man and a woman, and he had intent behind it. And the freedom, the sanctity of life, how about the freedom to live, the life and liberty? Mm-hmm. Amazing concepts that our founders of our country never imagined would be under attack. Yet every day the Alliance Defending Freedom is fighting for those rights to remain rights in our country under the Constitution of the United States in our representative republic. Okay. So Tanya Shelnut is here representing the Alliance Defending Freedom. She's one of the regional alliance directors, one of four in the country. Tanya asked this question right before the break. Are Christians causing some of their own legal issues?
Yeah, so in my experience, I would have to say that they don't understand maybe the complexities of the law. And so they're focused on, you know, sharing the gospel and their calling, and they just don't understand the complexity of that. I think that would probably be the real reason that they're not necessarily causing their own legals. They don't understand it.
See, what I think is amazing is that you said you're not an attorney, yet you talk like a politician. So, because I'm not sure.
She's well-trained.
I'm not sure you answered my question. The question was, are Christians causing some of their own legal issues? Here, and the answer is, yes, they are.
I have a feeling that Jim was expecting it to go something like this.
Okay.
Well, we all live in the flesh, and we're all sinful. So, yes, we probably let our pride get in the way sometimes or get hot-headed.
You'd like to vote for Tanya, she's running for the local Congress office in Charlotte, North Carolina. Is that where you are still today?
Yes, sir.
Okay, she's running for political office there. House district something. Okay, all right. Okay,
well,
seriously.
How about this? Why don't I tell you a story about an
individual? Why don't you try to recover yourself?
She's going to redeem herself here. Tell us a story.
I'm going to tell you a story about an individual that we've defended and that a lot of your listeners might be familiar with. Jack Phillips is a cake artist from Colorado who was sued for not creating a custom wedding cake. And what we always want our listeners and our court of public opinion to hear that Jack serves all people, but not all messages. Mm-hmm. And it was a case that we had to take to the Supreme Court, and we actually won it on a 7-2 vote. And all Americans have the First Amendment right to speak and peacefully live out their faith, and we want to make sure that we're working to uphold that. And we were very thankful that the Supreme Court saw that, and that Jack, who is just precious, the most humble servant that you will ever see, displayed courage in all of that.
So that's the Colorado baker, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and so to have a 7-2 ruling at the Supreme Court means that some judges who wouldn't be described as conservative still ruled in his favor because it was the constitutionality. Constitution was speaking to it. Now, right after that event, that suit went to the Supreme Court. Not being an attorney, but knowing, having a hand on current events, they came back at him. The activists came back at him with swing number two.
They did. And again, God is very, very good, and he delivered Jack from that as well. He was sued for not creating a custom wedding cake that celebrated a gender transition. And so they came back at him, and thankfully, about a month ago, they dropped the case. But what we have here is Jack Phillips, who lost 40% of his business and has had to endure this for years. And I think, to tie it back to your question about our Christians creating their own legal challenges, I would say it's just, again, they don't understand the complexities of the law, and that there's such an over effort to try and be hostile to Christians. And what we need to display is a spirit of courage. And that's exactly what Jack did. He displayed a spirit of courage. And I really we're so thankful for his ability
to
stand.
That's so great that there is someone like that. You know what, his heart, when it can come through in the moment. I was just thinking about this. We were talking about the sanctity of life. And a couple weeks ago, when the movie Unplanned came out, I was in a crowd of people where there was a woman who was very passionate. We got to see it. We've interviewed one of the producers. And, it is there's a lot of emotion behind that conversation on every spectrum of it. But this woman that I was in the room with, she was almost angry, telling people they needed to go see the movie.
Right.
And I knew what I was seeing was her just having so much emotion, telling people, you've got to go see this because it's got such an amazing message. But she was not being loving and gentle about it. She was being very abrasive. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of this conversation too, is how do we live out our life in such a way that, like Jack Phillips, that his character was seen throughout it all.
Yeah, absolutely. The reality is that living out our faith exists beyond the four walls of the church and our homes.
Amen to that
And our Christian faith should guide how we interact every single day.
Yes, it should.
Courage inspires others. And if we don't display a spirit of courage, look, the victory's done. It's won. We should walk in victory. And that doesn't mean that we're going to have challenges and hardships. But the reality is that if we can inspire somebody, or we can encourage somebody to live a changed life or to stand up for their faith, then God calls us to that. It's not optional for us to say, I don't really want to do that. And I think that that's where Jack was. He just has just exemplified that spirit of courage.
Well, when I asked that question, do Christians cause some of their own legal issues? I wasn't thinking about Jack the Baker because he was living according to his faith.
Yeah, absolutely. No,
but I
he's
think
definitely
that
not one.
As a movement of Christ in this country, we've caused a lot of the legal issues, the attacks today, certainly sanctity of life, religious freedom, and marital freedom, because of the judgment that's come out of our mouths instead of the love. And that's really where I was going. And I'm not saying that I haven't done some of those, said some of those stupid things, but, you know, as our country is hurting.
Right.
And they're lashing out at the one organization that can bring them healing, and that's Christianity. Jesus is the answer to all of the questions they're asking.
Right.
And they're in such pain.
Right.
And so they're lashing out in pain.
Right.
And really, it's just a cry for pain. Like you, when you were an alcoholic, you were crying out for pain, and your husband said, hey, you need to go get help.
Yeah, well, you could really contrast, right? You asked the question, are Christians causing some of their legal issues? And then you could contrast Jack. Jack exemplified courage and humility and how to speak to the difficulties of the day. And then you have some of the Christians, and again, it's not because they mean to, it's because they just don't know what they don't know. And they have a difficult time articulating their story. We don't do a very good job telling our story. Why are we a Christ follower? Why? And there's not a whole lot of grace there. So Jack is the epitome of what that should look like versus those that do not know how to communicate that redemptive message.
You know, we're here in Dallas, Texas, courtesy of the Christian Leadership Alliance. It's an alliance of non-Christ-centered nonprofits from around the country and around the world, all committed to excellence and doing the business of the ministry in an excellent way. As we talked today with Tanya Shelnut from Alliance Defending Freedom, Tanya, there's got to be some specific issues that nonprofits should be aware of, because I know one thing that you're hearing of the constant rumble is sexual activism and the attacks on nonprofits for standing up for what the Bible says is true. Talk to the nonprofits of the world, because people listening to the show are either involved in nonprofits, they serve as a volunteer in a nonprofit, they give money to a nonprofit, so the nonprofits that they dearly love, they're under attack. What do they do?
Sure. So that's the reality. Most often human nature is to respond when the crisis occurs, mm-hmm. right? So we're wanting to get out and teach and equip ministries and churches to be proactive and put measures in place that protect them. So looking at the statement of faith, their governing documents, making sure that accurate verbiage is in those to make sure that there's protections, because the court of law is looking at your documents to see what you exactly believe. So making sure that it's clear, and that's why the ministry and the Church Alliance was created, so that we can take a look at those documents for them, and so that the pastors, the faith leaders, the ministry leaders, they can focus on making sure that the calling that God's called them to do.
So you're saying that there's actually kind of two. There's the Alliance Defending Freedom, and then there's the Church and Ministry Alliance.
So Alliance Defending Freedom has many components to the mm-hmm. organization as a whole. We have our legal advocacy side, and the Ministry and then the Church Alliance is a new portion of Alliance Defending Freedom. And so that's we're all still one,
sure,
but we have different arms that we
use. So you said having an organization look at those things. Do you have resources to help them to do that? Tell us about that and how they can participate.
Absolutely. And so again, that's the Ministry Alliance. We have the Ministry Alliance and the Church Alliance.
So ADFMinistryAlliance.org.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir. That is it. And we have a membership program for the ministries and the churches to come on board, and we have religious liberty attorneys who will look those documents over, who will be there if they have any questions. They have direct access to the attorneys that they can call on any time. There's no 5-year out. You can call. We have pro bono representation. I'll to to give you a story. There's a church in Redeemer.
Are you going to tell a story?
I'm going to tell you a story,
Jim.
I know you're so excited about this. So my family and I were vacationing for spring break in Edisto Island, South Carolina last year. And we were there over Easter, so we went to the Civic Center where they were having a worship service because, you know, we weren't really sure where to go. So we went to the Civic Center and attended service. And, you know, when you bring family of seven in, like, you multiply the population at the church in like 2 seconds. They mm-hmm. love you instantly. And so about a month later, I got a call, and I was one of the attorneys said, hey, you need a call on this church in Edisto Island. And I'm like, well, I was just there. Sure. So I called them. Well, it turns out it was the church that my family and I attended on Easter Sunday. And what happened was that the church was a church plant, and they were renting the town civic center, and they had submitted a renewal request, and the city amended its facility use guidelines to ban all rentals for religious worship services. And so we took up their case, and we went to court on their behalf, and the city changed their policy, and the religious people can now go back into the Civic Center.
When we come back, lots more from Tanya Shonla talking about defending religious freedom, defending the sanctity of marriage, defending the sanctity of life. Alliance Defending Freedom, check it out online, adfministryalliance.org, adfministryalliance.org. All this made possible because of the Christian Leadership Alliance. If you are running or attending or part of a Christian nonprofit, you need to be a part of the Christian Leadership Alliance. It can make you excellent just by the incredible relationships that you'll form. You're listening to I Work For Him. We'll be right back.
If you are a Christian believer, God placed you where you live to help your neighbors become vibrant, reproducing disciples of Jesus Christ. Sign up free at blesseveryhome.com, and you'll receive a map and list of your neighbors along with the tools to pray for them by name, care for, and share the gospel with them. You can also choose to receive scheduled reminder emails with the next five neighbor homes to pray for that day. Join Bless Every Home and see how prayer can change your community.
The ease of use and convenience has literally taken away every excuse that we could possibly come up with for why we can't engage the Lord on our neighbor's behalf.
What are we waiting on? The harvest is now.
Our prayer is that by the end of 2020, every single home in America is being prayed for by name.
It doesn't cost a thing, but it can mean everything.
BlessEveryHome.com. Join Bless Every Home and see how prayer can change your community.
How would you like to own your own business and honor and glorify God within that business? Office Pride Commercial Cleaning Systems, an award-winning faith-based commercial cleaning franchise system, has been around for 27 years and is now offering franchises in the I Work For Him listener area. If you'd like to know how you can participate in this faith-based business culture while being a 100% owner of your own growing franchise, visit Office Pride today at officepridefranchise.com. or call 850-291-0724. Office Pride has proven systems that will teach you everything you need to know about the commercial cleaning industry and how to scale a business within that industry. Office Pride is looking for business builders like you. To check out this amazing opportunity, visit officepridefranchise.com. That's officepridefranchise.com, or call 850-291-0724. Office Pride, their values make them different. OfficePrideFranchise.com.
Welcome back to I Work For Him. Man, are we having some fun today. Tanya Shelnut is here joining us from the Alliance Defending Freedom, and it's all about Jesus followers and organizations being proactive in preventing mistakes that cause us to get sued while we're out there trying to love the public. A lot of times we just stumble as we love the public, but today Tanya's going to tell us how to love the public without stepping all over ourselves.
You know, so I love the fact that we're talking about what can we do to set ourselves up for success.
Yes.
And not waiting for somebody to look for an opportunity that we fail, but and not having those gaps and things like that. So tell us some things very practically that our listeners our audience can take away and say, okay, this is something I need to look into,
right,
to shore up this nonprofit that I'm involved in, and making sure that we just don't have any of those gaps.
Absolutely. So the most important thing is what you alluded to. We need to make sure that we're on the offense. We're not playing defense. Because the reality is, again, we often operate when the crisis occurs. And at Alliance Defending Freedom, we want to make sure that we set ministries up and churches up to succeed. Because in the court of law, when legal precedence is set, it doesn't care the size of your ministry. You can be a very large ministry with many resources, or a small ministry with limited resources. And we want to make sure that even the small ministry can protect himself and so or itself. So we want to make sure that ministry leaders and pastors have the ability to freely live out their faith, that they can operate according to what God has called them to. And so when legal questions or concerns arise, because we are in a day and age where anybody can be sued. That's where we're at. And so we want to make sure that protections are in place. So we, again, we're going to look at your governing documents. We're going to look at your statement of faith. We're going to look at and make sure that your facility usage. We're finding that ministries and churches are being marginalized out of communities. And so what they'll do is, instead of opening their doors to communities, they'll just say, well, I'm not going to let anybody in to the outside groups. We're not going to let anybody in because it's easier to do that way. Well, we don't want that. We want to make sure that you're empowered to reach out to your community.
That was the most powerful thing you've said so far. Don't take offense to what I'm saying. I mean, because that's what everybody. You know, okay. I did not mean
that. Never mind that Jesus like saved me from a destructive lifestyle. Okay.
No, I'm not talking about
by golly,
testimony.
That's it.
Is that a lot of churches have retreated behind their walls out of panic and out of fear, and saying, well, we don't want to get sued and we don't want to host a gay or lesbian wedding, so we're just going to not let anybody in.
That's correct.
And so that, which is a disaster, because the church is supposed to be the lifeblood of the community. Is supposed to be the healing balm to the community.
That's right.
So how do they do this? How do they protect their ability to uphold biblical standards but not spit on the community and not withdraw from the community and therefore become irrelevant to the community?
That's where we come into play. The Church Alliance and the Ministry Alliance, making sure that our religious liberty attorneys look through the governing documents. You have a facility usage policy in place that allows you to be empowered and emboldened to go out into that community and do what the Lord's called you to. But it has to have that first step, the action step. So instead of churches saying, nope, we're going to hide, we need them to say, okay, this matters. This matters so much that we're willing to be a part of something bigger because we want to reach our community.
So what does it look like?
I remember, though, being in an organization right when the whole bathroom situation was up, you know, with whether it's, who can use the women's bathroom, who can use the men's bathroom, and the panic and the fear of that organization of like, you know, if we don't do this right. What's going to end up happening?
Well, we have a story about that. We have a Hope Center.
Are you willing to share that
Alaska.
Story?
I'm only going to share it with this sweet little lady over here.
So you can listen in, Jim, we're going to have a conversation.
We have the Hope Center in Alaska, and that particular issue has come up. Here you have a women's shelter, very vulnerable women who've been wounded at the hands of men, who go to this place for refuge and security, and because of a local non-discrimination ordinance, they have to been told they have to allow men to come into their shelter, and a man came in, and instead they took him to a rescue center, and they got in trouble for that. And so Alliance Defending Freedom has come in to try to protect the integrity of making sure that women and children are protected from those who from those dangerous laws that are being put forth.
There you go. That was a.
But she
only
told you, Martha, so I didn't hear any of it. I want to make sure that let's talk about, we need to love our communities.
Yes.
And you're trying to help nonprofit organizations, churches, to love the communities,
yes,
but do it in a way that protects the sanctity of what our Heavenly Father wrote down over a period of 1,500 years through 40-plus authors, 66 books, and in three different countries. I mean, the scriptures that we read each and every day, the message, the letter from our Father. How do you often, have you ever had those conversations with those ministry leaders where you're like, you know, you're a knucklehead?
Yeah.
We just need to reset. You caused this issue yourself.
Yeah, there are. There's definitely knuckleheads out there. And that's another great component of the work that we do. We offer media training, communications training to pastors and ministry leaders so that we can teach them how to articulate that redemptive message, but yet put protections in place for churches and ministries. Because, again, we want to tell our story. We want to tell the story of the hope of Jesus Christ and the life-changing power of that. We want ministries to be able to go into communities and make such an impact for the kingdom. But if they're going in there and they're being knuckleheads, it's not always because they mean to, Jim. They don't know.
Right. It's ignorance.
It is. And some of them choose not to know. And then some just don't know. And so we want to make it easier for them to give them the resources that we have so that they can do the work that God's called them to.
So direct people to your website and tell them what they're going to find there, because we really need to give them the opportunity to find those resources.
Yes. So you can go to www.adfministryalliance.org, and there's a wealth of information on that website for them to look for. And then if they have any questions, they can reach out to me or on that website, and we will get them connected with a regional alliance director to come speak to their elder board, their ministry, any of their leadership that they need us to come to. That's the work that we do. We come in and we educate them on what we're doing.
We've focused on a lot of glass half empty stuff, and that's because I'm on the show and I tend to look at that kind of stuff that way. But let's talk glass half full.
Yes.
Because we're making some real progress. I mean, you just mentioned it earlier. Jack the Baker got a 7-2 Supreme Court ruling.
Right.
That was an act of God.
That's right. Now is not the time for us to retreat as Christians. Again, I stated earlier, courage inspires others. Nehemiah 4:14 tells us that we're to fight for our homes, our families, our brothers, our sisters, our wives, our daughters. Look, now is not the time to put our heads under the rug and say, because we've been so complacent. We have been the church of Laodicea, lukewarm, and we can no longer afford to do that. If we're going to have generational wins and we're going to preserve a legacy for the next generation, we have to rise up and we have to put proactive measures in place and be good stewards of what God gave us. This is not our gift. This is His gift to us, and we must steward that in a way where those generational wins happen.
I would vote for
Amen.
You. I would vote for you.
You have both
really,
of our votes.
And really, but what you said earlier, be on the offense, but I think what you didn't say was, but don't be offensive.
Right.
Because there's a big difference. We need to be on the offense, but not be offensive.
That's correct.
And too often, Jesus said, don't judge others, lest you be judged. He said, don't worry about this speck of sawdust in your brother's eye when you got a telephone pole coming out of your own.
At the same token, we have to tell the whole truth. Because if we give half-truths, we're doing
what do you mean?
Nobody
a Give me an example of a half-truth that gets promoted all the time.
To talk about, let's just talk about the LGBT lifestyle, okay? Look, I've lived in the world. I've lived in a life of destruction. The world's way does not offer hope. It may offer what you think is a temporary fix or a temporary high, if you will. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that whether you engage in a homosexual lifestyle, whether you engage in alcohol or drugs, whether you engage in any kind of destructive behavior, there's no hope in it. And at the end of the road, it's broken. And there's a reason why suicide rates are high. So
absolutely.
If we don't tell the truth in a loving way, and if we don't offer them the hope of Christ, 100%, we're not helping anybody. I wouldn't be sober today if someone wouldn't have called me flat out for my negative
behavior.
Well,
and we lived out that the people living in a heterosexual lifestyle but are living outside of marriage, the people that are in an adulterous lifestyle, there's so many different things where people
That's
are,
right.
they think it brings satisfaction, but it really breeds destruction.
That's right.
Tanya Shelnut, we're out of time. I appreciate you actually just sharing so much about Alliance Defending Freedom. Check her out online, adfministryalliance.org, adfministryalliance.org. Thank you, Tanya. All this made possible by the Christian Leadership Alliance. Check them out online, christianleadershipalliance.org. You've been listening to I Work For Him with your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We're Christ followers. Our workplace, it's our mission field, but ultimately, I work for him.
And
America's First News with Gordon Deal at 5 a.m., Hugh Hewitt at 6, Del Wamsley at noon, Dave Ramsey at 2, and Larry Elder at 6 p.m. This is Talk 100.3.
Hey, this is Kyle from Jack's Car Loans. I'm here to give you the inside scoop that 99% of Jacksonville consumers don't know about buying a car with Challenge Credit. You don't need to settle for any car or just any payment anymore. You just need to find a credit service willing to help you, like our team at Jack's Car Loans. We have the right combination of inventory, credit sources, and dealerships to help get you into the perfect car at the payment you can afford. Visit jackscarloans.com or call right now.
Call 1-888-JAXLOAN, 1-888-JAXLOAN, 1-888-JAXLOAN.
Do you know who was voted the Bold City's best plumber? Roland Reisch Plumbing. Here's why. Roland Reisch Plumbing promises great work on time and does it. The good news spreads fast. For all plumbing issues, large or small, you want the Bold City's best. Click plumber in jacks.com. Your friends and neighbors have used them, and that's why they went to jacksonville.com to vote Roland Reisch Plumbing Jacksonville's top plumber. 24/7, Roland Reisch Plumbing is standing by, whether it's routine work or a middle-of-the-night emergency. Just call 904-260-7059. If you have a leak, can't wait a week, please call Roland Reisch Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Roland Reisch Plumbing is proud to have been voted Bold City's best plumber. They intend to stay number one. Call 904-260-7059. Call 904-260-7059. FM 100.3, W262A.